Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. Ephesians chapter 2, one of the most familiar passages of Scripture anywhere in the Bible. And I was reading it, just come across it this week, and reading through the Bible, and boy, the Lord spoke to my heart. Let me just go ahead and give you the thought this morning, and then we'll read the text. The Word of God said in verse number 2 there, according in times past, you walked according to the course of this world. God grabbed my heart right there, and I underlined the course of this world. And then if you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you don't have to turn there in verse number 1. I'm going to go ahead and turn there just so I get it exactly right. I think it says, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Let me look at it here and make sure that I'm telling you right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. So I guess if I were going to title the message today, Brother Jim, Brother Richard, I guess I would title it this: which course are you on? There's the course of this world, and there's the course of His Word. Which course are you on? You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was getting ready to leave this world, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I kept the faith. He said, I finished my course. Well, it's evident as you study the life of the Apostle Paul which course he was on. This world hates those that are on the course of this world, this word. Have you figured that out? And which course are you on this morning? But and the course that you're on is going to determine your destination, where you end up in the end of life. Let's read together. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I love that, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses or dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 8. We see the course of His Word. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. You say, Pastor, I don't see the course of His Word. Now listen to me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, beloved, we can't have faith without a Bible. Amen. And God give us His Word. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If correctly read, that's the first 10 verses. You may be seated. Please pray with us. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, this morning for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, this morning for your mercy. Thank you for these that have gathered in the house of God today. Lord, would you make this pastor a blessing to these people? I pray the message, our Father, would, Lord, both comfort those, our Father, that are bereaved, those that are saved. But, Lord, I pray it would convict those who are not saved, those who are not ready to meet God. Heaven truly, Lord, is a prepared place for a prepared people. God, I pray that folk would not die unprepared to meet God. Lord, we're all going to meet you. Help us to meet you, Lord, and be able to say, Lord, I finished my course. That course being the will of God as it's laid out in the Word of God. Help us now today, Lord, and God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I have just a couple of things I want to share with you from the Word of God today concerning the course of this world and the course of His Word. And then we're going to look at something that falls in between the course of this world and the course of His Word. First of all, this morning, in the course of this world, we see, I believe, what the Word of God tells us is a deadness. The Word of God said, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Do y'all see that right there? I believe with all of my heart it's important to understand, beloved, that when we're unsaved, we cannot help ourselves. We cannot offer anything to God because we're dead in our trespasses and our sin. One man was preaching one time, and he was trying to simplify salvation. And he made this statement. He said, "Why, getting saved is as easy as taking a drink of water." And another man, a wise man that had read his Bible, that understood how helpless we are apart from the grace of God, he said, "Sir, let me see you get a dead man to take a drink of water. You can't get a dead man to take a drink of water. That dead man has to be quickened." And I thank God for He, the Holy Spirit of the living God, that quickens us, amen, and gives us that opportunity, amen, to receive Christ as our Savior. So I see a deadness in this course of this world. And you say, "Pastor, I don't understand why people are doing what they're doing in the world." Let me say this, they're dead in their trespasses and in their sin. They're doing exactly what's in their heart. Their nature has never been changed. You can go all the way back, beloved, listen to Adam and Eve's children, and you can see the evil in a man's nature apart from the mercy and the grace of God. How that Cain slew his brother Abel. And the Word of God was right, beloved, when it said jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Amen. And you see here in the Word of God a deadness. But there's also something else that you see, and that is a deceitfulness when you're looking at the course of this world. Beloved, there's people all over this county, all over this country, all over the world that think they're really doing well. They're deceived. They're headed for hell at a breakneck speed. They think, beloved, that heaven's got more than one door. You can go in through this door, that door, the other door. I'm here to tell you that Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. And beloved, no man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Word of God said, "In times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." And beloved, listen, He's still deceiving today. He's not just deceiving those on the bar stool, He's deceiving those on the church pew. I'm telling you, beloved, there's people sitting in churches all over America today that think because they've got all the Sunday school pens, heaven will be their home. That think because they're a member of a great congregation, that heaven will be their home. That think because they put thousands of dollars in an offering plate, that heaven will be their home. That think, beloved, because they've been dipped in a water hole, that heaven will be their home. But I tell you, the only way, beloved, heaven will be your home is if you come to Jesus, repenting of your sin, and trust Him and Him alone to be your Savior. He's the only way to escape hell and make heaven your home. There's a deceiver, and this world is full of deceitfulness. Let's go back to John for just a moment. Let me teach you just a little bit about this rascal. I'm telling you, he's still up to the same old thing. The Word of God said in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do." You know what I say when they're throwing something through the storefront
and we're going running in to get them a pair of tennis shoes, I say, you're of your father the devil. That's exactly right. Amen. You say, I don't like that. You don't have to. Beloved, lawlessness is not of God. Lawlessness is of the devil. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, these people that are out here abusing these children, and while I'm at it, let me just say this. If you've got a subscription to Netflix, check up on things and cancel the thing. Amen. They're up to no good using the children of our land. And I believe it's an abomination in the sight of God. What's going on, beloved, in the name of entertainment? Amen. And beloved, listen, he said, you're of your father the devil. The lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. You see, what the world wants you to see in the course of the world, what they want you to think is there's some truth in him, but God had it right when Jesus said there's no truth. There's not one ounce of truth in him. He's a liar and the father of a lie. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In John chapter number 10, I'm talking about the deceitfulness in the course of this world. And verse number 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh, beloved, listen, it sounds to me like what's going on in the cities, don't it you? And the word of God said here, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I tell you, beloved, that rascal, that deceiver, that devil, he's taken life out of people. But thank God there's a Savior that's wanting to put life in people. And not only life, but life more abundantly. We see that deadness in the course of this world. We see the deceitfulness in the course of this world. And by the way, let me just share something with you that caught my eye as I reread this morning. In verse number 2, wherein in times past the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, ye walked. You know, that would be like me standing up here this morning and saying, you did this, ye did this, you did this, you did this. But I want you to see something that really blessed my heart. The Bible said in times past. By the way, look at this just a moment. In verse number 2, in times past. Verse number 3, we also had our conversation in times past. Do you see that right there? Look over in verse number 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the... What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this. We've all got a past. And some of them's not too pretty. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, thank God Almighty, listen, even Paul is going to include himself. This is what blessed me, Brother Steve, in verse number 2. He said, in times past, ye walked according to the course of this world. And look in verse number 3, among whom also we all. It's no longer just ye, but he said, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You say, preacher, I can't imagine a Pharisee of the Pharisees making a statement like that. I tell you, I can, because he got saved by the grace of God, and he realized if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Amen. That's what the Spirit of God will do to you. He won't pet you and console you while you're dead and your trespasses in sin. He'll convict you, beloved, of your unrighteousness and your ungodliness. There's a deadness in the course of this world. There's a deceitfulness in the course of this world. But then there's a disobedience in the course of this world. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, every time we disobey the Word of God, we're acting like this world. Watch what the Word of God said. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look up in verse number 2. The Bible said the Spirit, the prince of the power of the air, and the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Beloved, listen. Listen, there's a war going on in the world today. Listen, you say, preacher, I thought we were living in a time of peace. Oh, Listen to me. There's a war going on between good and evil, between right and wrong, and the prince of the power of the air. Beloved, listen. He's deceiving people, getting him a gang together. Amen. And it's time that God's people, my friends, spoke up. It's time that we stood up. It's time that we looked up and realized we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God, the course of this world. I tell you, I appreciate the Lord. I'm telling you, beloved, in times past, this is where we lived. This is where we walked, according to the course of this world. Watch this now. Let me give you this quickly. Let's look at the course of His Word. When we read a while ago in the book of Thessalonians chapter 3, He said, "Brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course." What happens when the word of the Lord has free course in a person's life? I'll tell you what happens. Number one, salvation. That's what happens. When God has His way and the word of God has its way in our heart, the Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Thank God this morning. Thank God when them youngins were singing, "Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and the tears ran down the moment you felt it?" I'm telling you, beloved, I think back to my brother that shook his son against the wall and said, "Dry it up, boy. Real men don't cry." And that night he got saved, called me on the phone. I'm telling you, you can tell something on a telephone. You can't see it, but you can tell when snot's going everywhere. And he's a-weeping and broken. And he got saved by the grace of God. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. Has your cold heart ever melted? Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? The Word of God said here, "For by grace are you saved." I thank God for that night in February when the Word of God had free course in my life. And I was able to swallow my pride and turn to Jesus. Turn from the course of this world and look at a different course that I wanted to walk in, the course of His Word. But listen, the first thing that's going to happen, salvation. But that's not all. I think we're guilty sometimes as Baptists of quitting right there. Get saved and that's it. No. Get saved and it just got started. The Word of God said in verse number 10, not only when the word of the Lord has free course, not only is there salvation, but beloved, there is sanctification. What do you mean? Look in verse 10. "For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Beloved, I love the children's song. He's still working on me. 30-some years later, He started something that night when He saved me, but He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. He's still working on me. I got news for you. He's still working on you too. If He ever started a work in you, Bible said, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Say, "Preacher, why is He going to quit on that day?" Because on that day, beloved, it's finished. We'll be like Jesus. And that work will be finished. It'll be complete. And it will be perfect in the eyes of our Lord. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate that sanctification. Listen, that He's working in our lives. We ought to be becoming more like Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of the One who died for me. The course of His Word, it begins with salvation. It continues in sanctification. But I wrote this word in the margin of my Bible. And that is the word situation. When God's Word has free course in our life, where do we find ourselves situated. Let me give you something. The Word of God said here, look here, in verse number, let's just start reading in verse number 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. Can anybody remember when you were without Christ? The Word of God said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise. And then the Word of God said this, having no hope. Can you remember a time in your life when you had no hope? Watch this now. And without God in this world. You remember? You remember? When you were walking in the course of this world without hope and without God. Watch this now. But now in Christ Jesus, how are we situated now? Ye who sometimes were far off, remember when you were far off? The Word of God said, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. First place I want you to see that God situates those where the Word of God has free course is near the Father. Hallelujah. There's nothing between us and Him. Now we can approach Him in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus and know that we're accepted in the Beloved. So we find ourselves situated near the Father. But watch this in verse number 19. We find ourselves situated in the family. Look in verse 19. Now therefore there are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. I'm going to make a statement. You don't have to get mad at me. And if you do, you can get in line. There's something wrong when somebody says they got saved by the grace of God and they don't fall in love with God's people and love the family of God. I'm telling you, there's something wrong. When God's Word has free course, it situates us near the Father. Then we begin to love what the Father loves. And we begin to hate what the Father hates. And beloved, listen, even if it's in our own life, we hate it. Because we know it's displeasing to Him. Oh, beloved friend, He situated us near the Father. He situated us in the family. But it gets good. A little bit gooder than that. Look in verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. God didn't only situate us near the Father and in the family, but He put us on the foundation. That's where Jesus told Peter. He said, Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't know about you this morning, but I know where I stand. Where I'm standing, Brother Lowell, ain't sinking sand. It's on a solid rock. You're looking at a man that at one time had no hope, but now I have a lively hope. You're looking at a man that at one time had no God, but now I have a living God. You're looking at a man that at one time was walking the course of this world, but now with all my heart I desire to walk the course of His Word. Oh, beloved friend, are you situated on that rock? See, it doesn't matter what ground you're on. If you're not on that rock, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You say, preacher, do you think the Baptists are the only ones that have it right concerning salvation? No. I believe the Bible's the only one's got it right. And I don't care what name tag you put on it. If it ain't going by the Bible, it ain't going to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So far, there's one thing I've never been accused of, and that's preaching apart from the Bible. Wouldn't it be sad to go to a place that calls itself a church and hear about philosophy? Hear man's ideas. Hear about the wisdom of this world. And not hear the Word of God. It's the Word of God that saved us. It's the Word of God that changes us. It's the Word of God that ultimately will make us just like Jesus. What a blessing. The course of this world. The course of His Word. I read this. I wanted to share it with you. The world system is committed to at least four major objectives, which I can summarize in four words. Fortune, fame, power, and pleasure. I'm just going to insert something right there. Much of what's going on in the political world today has nothing to do with the people. But it has everything to do with power. There are people that are drunk on power. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll steal. They'll kill to obtain or maintain power. The world system is driven by money. It feeds on materialism, fame. That is another word for popularity. Fame is the longing to be known, to be somebody in someone else's eyes. Power. This is having influence, maintaining control over individuals or groups or companies or whatever. Let me just stop and say something. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. I met with our deacons this morning. Never in my life, Brother Ralph, have I even got an inkling in us meeting back there that we were over this group of people. We're servants of the Most High God. And we're here to serve this body of Christ. God help us. The Word of God said here, maintaining control over individuals or groups or companies or whatever. It is the desire to manipulate and maneuver others to do something for one's own benefit. Fourth, pleasure. At its basic level, pleasure has to do with fulfilling one's sensual desires. It's the same mindset that's behind the slogan, if it feels good, do it. I believe with all of my heart, the course of this world ought to scare every born-again believer. I believe that there are teenagers that are genuinely saved by the grace of God. There's two courses. There's the course of this world, the course of His Word, and I will guarantee you that in this course of this world, they're trying to drag them youngins right back over. You say, preacher, they can't go back there. You tell me why. Why does the man of God in the Bible warn us over and over and over if we can't go back there? The preacher can go back there. The father can go back there. No, I'm not talking about being lost again, but I'm talking about acting like I am. David wasn't lost, but he was acting like a lost man. And he paid the price the rest of his life. I have a shepherd that's got a staff. If we get to leaning this way, he knows what to do with that staff. Somebody tell me. He knows what to do with it. The course
of this world, the course of His Word. I believe in social media. I didn't plan on saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I believe in social media. A lot of things that are going on today are just an effort to be popular. Just an effort to belong somewhere. A lot of what's going on in this world today is nothing more than a glorified gang. And sometimes it's got a religious title on it. Just a place to belong. But I want you to know God has a family. God has a people. A people that can love one another. A people that can forgive one another. A people that are there to bear one another's burdens. A people who are not walking according to the course of this world. I don't know if you paid attention this morning or not, but I skipped a few verses, Brother Steve. We talked in verse 1 through 3 about the course of this world. We talked in verse 8 and following down through the chapter about the course of His Word. There's something in between. I want you to see it. It starts with the little word, but. Brother Ike, but for Jesus. But for grace. But for mercy. I'd still be in the course of this world. I wouldn't be concerned about my children and my grandchildren. All I'd be concerned about is what I was concerned about when I was walking in the course of this world. Myself. That's all. Wouldn't be concerned about others. What I want you to see with me for just a moment, stay with me a moment, is between the course of this world and the course of His Word, you find the compassion of our Lord. The Word of God said in verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. How many can remember when that sunk in the first time in your life? Here I am doing everything I can do contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the work of God, contrary to the will of God. And here comes God and loves me. Oh, you say, preacher, God will love me if I start doing right. I got news for you. God will never love you one bit more than He loves you right now. He's not waiting on you to do right to love you. He loved us in that He gave His Son to die for us. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Jesus laid down His life for you. He loved us. Verse number 5. Even when we were dead in sin, He quickened us. I want you to underline those phrases. He loved us. He quickened us. Say, preacher, how do you get from the course of this world to the course of His Word? There's only one way. My son-in-law got saved. He could tell you the date. I can't remember the date, but I can remember well the expression on his face. I can remember a few events when I told him about what was going on at the tent meeting. I remember the expression on his face. I remember the knock on the door in the afternoon. I thought he would be saved that morning in the service. I remember the knock on the door. I remember the conversation with my daughter. Pray for Bob, Daddy. Something's not right. But I will tell you something, beloved. That knock on the door didn't come because of a pastor that loved him. That knock on the door came because something was made real in his life. There was a Savior that loved him and gave Himself for him. He didn't come to bow down to a pastor. He came to bow down to a Savior. He loved us. The Word of God said He quickened us.
The Word of God said in verse number 6, and raised us up together. Ain't that good? Raised us up together, and then He made us. He's done a lot for us, ain't He? Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. Somebody read those next two words. Toward us. Brother Grizzle, He's still kind to us, ain't He? I mean, I'm getting on down the road here in this trail, and His kindness still overwhelms me. Turn with me in your Bible, and I'll close over to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter number 1. Oh, I hope this morning, if you're a born-again Christian, that something's going on in your heart and you're thanking God you're not still walking, Brother D, in the course of this world. Something changed. His Word began to have an effect in your life. Revelation chapter number 1. And I'm finished. In between the course of this world and the course of His Word, you find the compassion of our Lord. John in verse number 4. To the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. From Him, I love this, which is, which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before His throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. I love this. Unto Him that loved us and washed us. Are you loved this morning? I can say this without a shadow of a doubt. Let me just tell you a little story real quick. You remember the rich young ruler? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Jesus said, just go sell all that you have. Come, follow me. And the Bible said He went away sorrowful because He had many or great possessions. But here's what the Bible said. He, Jesus, beholding Him, the rich young ruler, loved Him. I wonder, Brother Steve, since that was in the account, I wonder when John was, he saw the experience. There had to be something that went on the outside that caused John to know something about what was going on the inside of Jesus. You know what I believe? I won't be dogmatic about this, but it could have been something right out of the corner of Jesus' eye as He walked away from the grace of God, as He walked away from a home in heaven. I wonder this morning how many places in America our Lord's heart will be broke as people walk outdoors and walk away from the mercy, from the grace, from the love, from the salvation, from the peace that He has to offer. Many this morning will walk away from the God of heaven. The Word of God said here He loved us. The Word of God said here He washed us from our sin in His own blood. And I'll say this, there's no other cleansing agent. Recently, my wife and I purchased a camper, and the roof on it was dirty, and I wanted to do some sealing and treatment that you do on the rubber roof. And well, the first step is cleaning it. And I like the internet and things like this, because you can read, well, this works and this works, this don't work, and sometimes you can get some help. But I tried different things, but I found something that really, really works good. You're going to laugh probably. Scrubbing bubbles. Oh, I'm telling you what's the truth. I sprayed about a 3-foot by 3-foot area, just barely brushed it a little bit and rinsed it off, and it was white. I told Miss Eve, I said, next time, I said, honey, we know what to get. I found that way down in the course. In other words, I was trying lots of different things to see what worked the best. There's only one thing that'll work. Washing sin away. And that's the blood of God's darling Son, the Lord Jesus. He loved us. He washed us in verse number 6. He made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. And I want to say with John, to Him be glory and dominion. I'm telling you this morning, beloved, if you've left the course of this world and you're walking in the course of His Word, to God be the glory. It's because God intervened. It's because of two words, but God. But God. Which course are you in today? How diligent are you in that course? Do you frequent this Bible, or is it just once in a while, or the only time it get opened at church? You pray like the little boy. The father asked him, I was over there when it happened. They hadn't been saved too long. And he said, son, you want to pray? And he said, yeah. And this little boy thought he would be cute. It wasn't cute when his daddy got done with him. I can tell you that. He embarrassed his daddy. That ain't good. He said, Lord, come through the crack, bless this snack, and go right back. That wasn't good. Especially while the preacher was sitting there. Amen. Do you really thank God from your heart for a place to live? Does it touch your heart when you see how many people are homeless? Some are homeless, beloved, because of poor decisions that they've made in their life. Some no fault of their own. You have to know that. You have to know that. Jesus loves you this morning. This pastor's begging you, don't walk away. Don't walk away from His love. Don't walk away from His mercy. If you're walking in the course of His Word, somebody's going to notice that about you. The places you used to go, you don't go there anymore. The things you used to say, you don't say them anymore. The things you used to do, you don't do them anymore. And then they know there's something wrong if that car is not backing out of the driveway about 9 or 9:30 on Sunday morning, because they're paying attention. God made a difference in your life. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I've done my best to give our people, Lord, what You've put upon my heart today. I'm asking You, Father, to speak to our hearts. I'm asking You, Lord, to help that individual that's walking in the course of this world to understand there's a better course. There's a better way. It's a way that leads to glory. I do ask You, Father, in the name of Jesus, for those that are walking in the course of Your Word, Lord, Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we even wonder, what's the use? Lord, you told us there in the Word of God not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Lord, there may be a born-again believer here today that just feels like they're at the point of fainting. Lord, David, the man after God's own heart, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Help someone today, Lord, to see your goodness. May the goodness of God lead us to repentance. Help us, our Father, today that no one, our Lord, that occupies a pew at Bible Way Baptist Church would drop off into the region of the damned, would die unprepared to meet God. Help us, Lord, see our people saved. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name.